like the sky, and your spirit is one with me. Your wings span the mighty ocean, your eyes see everything. The slightest of your motions can make the continents ring. Yet in all your might and glory, you vanished from the skies, leaving just another story amidst millions of man-made lies. They tell of how you fell from the sky, your once proud beauty aflame, to vanish from your throne on high, leaving only a memory of your name. Rainbow bird, oh mighty phoenix, come once more into the eyes of man. From the ancient days of Atlantis, in centuries numbered 10 times 10 times 10, whisper and say that you will come again, and once more man will prosper beneath your rainbow wing. And on your mighty far-flecked back, there shall stand that man. His words will be for the voice you lack, a guide for the race of man. Oh, rainbow bird, mighty phoenix, come once more into the eyes of man. From the ancient days of Atlantis, in centuries numbered 10 times 10 times 10.
All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize in advance if there's any distortion or if you lose me for any reason. I'm in town, A-town, and I'm at McDonald's, so I'm able to get up on the Internet. And hopefully everything is going all right. If I go off the air, you lose me for any reason, Carrie will call me back. And it's always interesting when I go on the road, because I get to meet people and talk to people. And I had the pleasure of meeting a staunch Bush supporter. And I made, I handed him a magazine and said, well, you ought to read this. And I'm in Arizona now. I'm on my way to, pick up the next issue, which really would have, made this guy's day, because, I've got, Bush on one side of the page and Ron Paul on the other. And my statements are, impeach this one and elect this one. But today, we're going to talk with another presidential candidate, Blake Ashby, and we'll be right back, folks.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
We're back again. I'll tell you, I'm on the road, and I was in a restaurant, and I brought in a few magazines that I'm on, and handed one to the guy next to me, who happened to be a staunch Republican. And there's nothing on the cover of the last issue that he could have found politically insensitive, especially as a Bush supporter. And but we chatted a little bit. I made a couple of comments about 9/11. And he said, oh, you don't believe it was terrorist? And I said, I don't believe any Muslims in a cave in Afghanistan caused the U.S. Air Force to stand down. I believe it was an exaggerated case of Jewish lightning. And he stood up and threw the magazine back down on the table. I don't want to read this. You know, in other words, don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up. And unfortunately, that's the attitude of a lot of Republicans out there. I've talked to some people that had something very similar to Liberty Villages going, and as soon as I said something about Bush being the United States dictator, and I don't want to have anything to do with you, but let's get it from another presidential candidate, Blake Ashby. How are you, sir? Welcome to the Free American Hour.
Good, Clay. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good for, you know, driving all night and sleeping in rest stops on my way to pick up the next issue of the Free American. You're running for president as an independent.
Correct. Yeah, I actually ran in 2004 as kind of a protest candidate in the Republican primary. I was upset enough with George Bush and where he was leading the party that it made me just want to stand up and say something. And at this point, I've pretty much given up on the Republicans. They have so bought into what he's saying in his direction that it's hard to think they're going to correct the course anytime soon, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I made a mention the other day. I said, you know, I used to think Bush was kind of stupid. But, my God, he saw the illegal alien problem just like them, you know? They're not illegal aliens. They're just members of the North American community, like you and I.
Here you go. All question linguistics.
What a solution, huh? Yeah. Just wipe out the Constitution, wipe out, bring in 30 million illegal aliens that are responsible right now for 95% of the arrest warrants for murder in Los Angeles and Arizona and New Mexico.
There I am.
And you're running without the support of a party, which may be a good thing.
Yeah, no, you know, it's hard because I grew up a Republican and, you know, studied history and big fan of Eisenhower, and obviously Lincoln did a lot for the country. We've had some great Republican presidents. Unfortunately, I just can't characterize this one as one of them. I think he's going to go down in history as the Republican president who most raised the tax burden on U.S. citizens. There was a time when Republicans knew that to actually cut taxes, you had to cut spending. If you cut taxes without cutting spending, all you're actually doing is deferring taxes. So, again, if you look down the road, we're going to have to pay for all this stuff Bush has been doing. It's going to be painful for a long time because he's been running up the bills.
We've got a $9 trillion debt, and the Iraq war has cost between Iraq and Afghanistan, and the other 120 countries our troops are in. I mean, my God, we're still in North Korea or in South Korea.
Yeah,
for that matter.
And I would definitely like to see us be a little more selective where we position our troops. I mean, at this point, we do it for an economic, it serves as an economic reward for South Korea, but I'm not sure we really need to be there anymore. You know, I think we can reach some kind of settlement, and I think we can slowly withdraw and let them defend themselves.
As soon as we got out of Vietnam, North and South Vietnam got together, united, they solved their problems, and now we're good buddies and trading partners with them.
Exactly. Yeah, no, peace has always been good for the economy. We tend to like countries that are friends of ours because we can sell stuff to them.
And I don't know if you had a chance to go to my website and read the last issue of the Free American, but I've got the history of the Rothschilds, the banking family. They control all the banks in Europe, and I guess the European Union now. They control the Bank of England, and they tried to get their banks in here. Alexander Hamilton was their guy. Thomas Jefferson was our guy, and he kept them out. Old Hickory kept them out, and then Wilson finally let them in. So we've got a private bank issuing our money, and every president has tried to do something about it. Lincoln when he issued greenbacks, and Kennedy when he issued United States notes, which both were debt-free money, they were killed. What's your stand on the Federal Reserve?
I think the Federal Reserve is a good thing. You know, it's easy to talk about the problems with it, but if you look back to before we had the Federal Reserve, you had private banks issuing essentially greenbacks for themselves. There was no single standard, and there was a lot of fraud going on. So I'm not saying the Federal Reserve is perfect, but I think it's better than the system of not having something like that.
The Constitution says Congress is supposed to issue money. The U.S. Treasury is supposed to issue money. And we've got the IRS now who Ron Paul wants to close down, and he wants to reissue United States notes like Kennedy did. I've got one of those in my wallet. What's wrong with our U.S. Treasury issuing the dollars, and instead of paying interest to a private bank, we pay interest to the American people?
Well, you know, I think in my mind, the Federal Reserve is a semi-public bank. The interest we're earning, we're not actually earning interest on dollars. We're actually paying interest on the bonds they've sold. But, you know, even on the IRS, you know, that's one of the things I disagree with Ron Paul on. You know, I've worked a bunch of different businesses. Every business I've had has had an accounts receivable department, which is the equivalent of the IRS. Why would a private business need an accounts receivable department but not the federal government? That's one of the things that I think he's gone a little overboard on. It's nice in theory, but in actual practice, you do need a way to collect the money. You can call it something else, but it still does the same thing.
Well, don't you at least think that the Federal Reserve should be audited now and then?
I'm not sure.
They've never had an audit, Blake.
Yeah, but do you think they're feeling they're stealing money? I mean, that's why you have an audit. You think somebody's stealing from you. I don't think people in the Federal Reserve are stealing from us.
We've got this war in Iraq is costing us almost $1 billion a month, or maybe more. I could be a little off on the figures.
It's going to cost us $1.5 trillion by the time it's all said and done. It's going to be one of the greatest wastes of U.S. government money in history.
If I'm not mistaken, Bush said we won. If we won, should we be getting out and letting them run their own country?
There you go. It's their damn country. Let's get the hell home. Excuse my language. Yeah, no, it's just frustrating. You know, he talks about spreading democracy. There are, 140 countries in the world? You know, and, you know, of those, say, 100 democracies out there, only two had democracy forced from the outside, Germany and Japan. So if you're thinking about bringing democracy to a country, do you try the 98% solution or do you try the 2% solution? For some reason, he tried the 2% solution, and it's going to cost us, again, $1.5 trillion. I mean, it was just very poorly thought out. And
Our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, for instance, referred to democracy as two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. And before FDR got in, the U.S. Army, in one of their handbooks, stated that democracies did not work until once the people found out they could vote themselves the largest. They could vote themselves some money, and then the whole democracy falls down. Benjamin Franklin told a woman when asked, "What form of government have you wrought for us, Mr. Franklin?" He said, a constitutional republic, ma'am, if you can keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely been a challenge.
By the way, the one other thing about the Federal Reserve, how old are you, Blake?
43, yeah.
I don't know what it was like when you were in school, but when I was in school, they told us communism was bad, but they never told us what communism was.
Mm-hmm.
It was never taught to us in school.
Yeah, we learned a little bit about socialism, not as much about communism.
And the 10 points on the Communist Manifesto, confiscation of money of immigrants and rebels, bossman of inheritance, but also a central bank and graduated income tax. Almost every plank on the Communist Manifesto has been instituted in America, and I don't know about you, but I took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I volunteered to go to Vietnam to fight the communists, and kind of a shock to find out communism was more prevalent in the United States than it was in Vietnam.
See, I'm not sure I'd agree with that. I've read the Communist Manifesto, and to my knowledge, it doesn't talk about a graduate income tax because it thought the government would control the economy. And there was no need for income tax if the government controls the means of production. So, I'm not disagreeing that we've gone toward a more social model, and that's meant the government's taking some responsibilities that I would prefer it had not taken. You know, I'm not disagreeing with that. But I think you need to separate that from the Communist Manifesto. I don't think what we've done is taken a step down that path quite as far as you do.
If you were elected president, what changes would you make in the way things are now? I mean, it seems to me. I mean, I report on this every day. It seems to me that we're moving closer to a police state than we've ever been before. I mean, we've always been the flagship for freedom and liberty.
I know. The Patriot Act,
the new homegrown terrorism, violent radicalization committee that they're trying to set up, and the Veterans Disarmament Act.
Yeah, I have to say, some of the moves on the Bush administration on the personal freedom front are just truly baffling. There was a time when the Republicans were conscious of the amount of power that the government had and did their best to limit the power of government over individuals, expressly because in our history, kings have used that power for bad purposes. They seem to have forgotten our history and gotten to the point where they really don't care about...
If you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Hold on, Lindsay. We got to take a break here, and we'll be right back with Blake Espy.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
We're talking with Blake Ashby, and we got a caller on the line, Blake. Bob from Texas. Hello, Bob. What's on your mind?
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Bob. What's on your mind? This is you're on with Clay Douglas and Blake Ashby.
Good morning, Clay and Blake. I just thought I'd call and ask a couple questions related to the Federal Reserve and our current economic conditions. One thing that Blake said was that you only audit an institution that you think is cheating you, and I believe that audits are a preventative measure to keep anybody from getting dishonest or cheating us. And secondly, I'd like for Blake to consider how you take the most naturally blessed nation on the planet Earth with the most industrious and ingenious people and turn it into the greatest debtor nation on the planet. What's happening, in my opinion, with the Federal Reserve is the same thing that would happen in a poker game where the house skims off 20% every hand. Eventually, the house ends up with all the money.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with your second point there. You know, it's just amazing that we have the deficit we do, because it's not like this country has ever not been productive, has it ever not been wealthy. You know, and the fact of the matter is that this administration is leveraging our future. And you know, it's funny because it's a strange thing to say, but if this president were president 50 years ago, Republicans would be calling him Red George. They would think he was a closet socialist. Because Republicans have always recognized that while socialism through revolution is, you know, by far the most spectacular and the most attention-grabbing, it's socialism through evolution that's actually more of a danger. It's a slow creeping of government responsibility and government spending.
Hey, Blake, I'm 57 years old, so I'm 10 years older than you are, or maybe 14 years old. Are you 43?
43, yeah.
Okay, when I was a kid, I could take a paper dollar down to the bank and get a silver dollar for it.
Yep.
Okay, today it takes about 18 of those paper dollars to buy a silver dollar. Now, you can think that the Federal Reserve is a good idea, but I don't see how it makes any sense to pay private bankers interest when we can pay it to ourselves if we even want to charge it. This country wasn't bankrupt in 1913. This country suffered a contrived depression under the bankers who were given a reprieve, a 10-day holiday act put into effect, and then all of a sudden the gold was confiscated and they were given the power to just issue currency. And the issuance of currency has caused this nation the greatest problems. And it's not a Republican or Democrat affair. This is a contrivance of the whole Congress and Washington, D.C. in general. People from both parties have had ample opportunity since 1913 to rescind the Federal Reserve Act and the Income Tax Act, and they've all sat there taking bribes from the bankers in order to not do it. There's no excuse for this. This is treason on the highest level, and it's ruining our country. And as a matter of fact, I would say it is the single most detrimental effect on this country, the single most detrimental issue.
Now, I would agree that the budget deficit is the single most detrimental issue facing our country right now. But I'm not sure that getting rid of the Federal Reserve would necessarily get rid of the budget deficit.
Well, let me ask you this, Blake.
The Rothschilds made their money 300 years ago by loaning money to kings and monarchies that were spending more than they brought in.
They're still doing it today.
That was the same people. In this issue, The Free American, we published the history of the Rothschilds, how they got started, who they were. Their sons fanned out and started the central banks in France, England, the original Mayor Amschel Power changed his name to Rothschild, and even Andrew Jackson, fought him and had it inscribed on his tombstone, I killed the bank.
Yeah, no, the Bank of New York. But you know, the fact, though, is that it's the monarchs who are borrowing the money. You know, it's the government spending more money than it takes in. That's the problem. That's our problem here. You know, we spend more money than we take in.
We've got King George there in Washington, D.C. that's pretty much doing the same thing. I mean, he's made the statement, this would be a lot easier if this was a dictatorship and I was a dictator.
Yeah, no,
Blake,
I
can I ask Blake a question, and then I'll get off the line?
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
How would you propose to extinguish the debt if the only thing that exists within the system are debt instruments?
Well, you know, I think for one thing, you bring your revenue in line with your expenses, and that means you bring your expenses back down to where they were in 2000, and that means you let the Bush tax cuts expire. Because, you know, you can argue about how much money government should be spending. If we're spending it and not paying for it, somebody else has to pay for it. And if we think it's unfair that we have to pay for this size of government, why should our children and grandchildren have to pay for government services that we have used? I mean, that is unfair. You know, that's almost immoral. The Republican Party used to think budget deficits were immoral. Now you've got a president who's going to, you know, pile on more debt than any president in U.S. history.
Well, the question I'm asking is, if every instrument that we utilize for currency or what we call money, which it isn't money, if it's incapable of extinguishing the debt, when I hand the grocer a $10 bill, he hands me a gallon of milk or whatever, but he's still holding the debt in his hand. And that debt never goes away, and that's why we can't get rid of the debt. It only can continue to get larger. You can't lower the debt if you can't pay it. You have to pay it with something that has value.
But in theory, if you can raise
Hang on a minute. Blake, I'll let you respond to that afterwards. Bob, thank you for your call. I sure appreciate it. We got to take a break. We'll take your calls. Call in. You know the number, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Free American with Blake Ashby.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny Did You Rob Bill Gates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Alright, we're back. We're talking with Blake Ashby, and I'm going to move on from the Federal Reserve. We've got one person in the chat room that asked a question. What's wrong with the American people owning the Federal Reserve?
And you keep talking as if they don't. I'm not quite sure which private bankers you're talking about that own that. To my mind, that's a semi-public institution, and the Treasury bills is issued are issued by the U.S. Treasury. You know, so I view the as a bureaucracy to handle the money supply, not necessarily a separate part of the government or separate from the government. So I don't think the Federal Reserve is a problem. I think it's a conduit for what goes on. I think the problem is that government spends more money than it takes in, and we're borrowing from future generations.
But they're borrowing from the Federal Reserve. That debt is owed to the Federal Reserve. If you cash an income tax check or you send an income tax to the IRS, it's stamped pay to the order of the Federal Reserve, Blake.
I've always paid my income taxes to the IRS or to the U.S. Treasury. You know, at the end of the day, it's just an institution. It's the people behind the institution doing the things we're doing that are causing us the problems. And that's the deficit spending. And I definitely agree with that, and I definitely agree that we should control the size of government. And the best way to do that is only spend what you take in. You know, the debt's the problem.
The government is certainly spending more on fuel and weapons that are taken in, and all of the factories have been moved out of this country. We have very few factories in this country. We're buying our combat boots from Red China.
I know.
What would you do about that?
Well, huh? You know, Bush talks about the tax cuts fostering economic development. That is not true. The Commerce Department tracks business investment and tracks new business startups. The Bush tax cuts did not bump business investment, did not bump new business startups. They went into speculation on subprime mortgages and on energy prices, and more money from the tax cuts went to start manufacturing jobs in China than went to start manufacturing jobs in the United States. The Bush tax cuts helped the Chinese economy more than they helped the U.S. economy. You know, it's a travesty. I mean, we shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be doing things that undercut our manufacturing base, and this administration time and time again has done that.
Well, both administrations, Clinton transferred a lot of the machine tools that we need to make our machines over to China.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate. That actually started during Reagan's years. They didn't do a good job of, you know, because there used to be 10,000 little machine shops that did bits and pieces, and you know, they just let those go away. And then the problem is, the next time we had an upturn, we didn't have the capital structure to actually be able to manufacture things again. It's a travesty.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it's a travesty that, you know, if you look at the economy, we don't want to be just a service economy. Service economies don't last. You've got to have manufacturing. You've got to have agriculture. You've got to have commerce. You can't have those. You can't have one without having the rest of them. We cannot.
Well, let's deal on this agriculture for a minute. Early 1900s, our number one cash crop across America was hemp. Today, there are 10,000 products made out of hemp, but we have to buy the hemp material from communist China.
I know. It's the laws on hemp are silly. I mean, they're just silly. Because the hemp that you use...
And we've also, along those lines, because most of the people in prison right now are in there for drug crimes, we've got one in every 32 Americans in prison on parole or on probation right now today. That's more than any communist country out there, more than China, more than First Soviet Union, more than Russia right now.
Absolutely. It is a silly waste of taxpayers' dollars to put somebody in jail for having a couple of marijuana joints. It just doesn't make any sense at all. You know,
and hemp ain't even marijuana. I mean, you can't smoke the hemp. You don't get high off of hemp. But why can't we be making our combat boots out of hemp grown by American farmers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, the laws on that are just silly. Because you're right. Industrial hemp is completely different from the recreational stuff. And yet the federal government is so blinded to all that, they can't even see the difference. But, you know, to your point, they're costing us jobs through laws that are designed to control us socially. And we used to be a more libertarian country. We used to think that people could actually make their own decisions, and government didn't have to micromanage every decision every individual made.
Well, Ayn Rand and I believe it was Atlas Shrugged told us that the government has no control over honest citizens, so they have to make criminals out of us.
Yeah.
And one in every 32 Americans in prison on parole. I mean, that's certainly sounds like a police state to me.
It sure is more than it needs to be, that's for sure. Hey, I apologize. Ashby2008.com is my website. I've got some stuff on the different issues we've been talking about, and so I'd hope people would take a chance to visit that.
Give that again several times during the broadcast, please.
Absolutely. That's great. I appreciate the opportunity. But, yeah, to your point, we create these laws. The laws have the effect of causing us to have police resources focused on these things. So we're spending police resources focused on social crimes and not on economic crimes. And it really needs to be the way around. We need to spend it on the economic crimes and not worry as much about what people do in their own homes.
You know, I don't think it hurts us if somebody's sitting at home shooting heroin, starting cocaine, smoking pot, and they're not on our streets, they're not endangering anybody. Why should we bring it home? But now it's getting a little even worse than that. There was just a family in Colorado. I did this on the air yesterday. A family in Colorado. Their son was outside playing, grabbed a hold of a car driven by a sister, and was jerked off his feet and hit his head on the pavement. They took him inside. The family took him inside. A neighbor called police, or called the medics. The paramedics came out and walked into their house without knocking, without permission, and took a look at the boy. They wouldn't take him to the hospital. The family said, no, it's a bump on the head. We're putting ice on it. We're doing just fine. And later, a SWAT team used a battering ram to kick in the door. This is up in Colorado. Kicked the door in, slammed the door in, knocked a hole in the door, pointed guns at the other 6 or 8 children, put them on the ground, slammed them down to the floor, face down on the floor, and took their 11-year-old boy into the hospital where the doctor said, give him Tylenol and put ice on
it. There you go. Put some ice on it. Just a bump on the head. Yeah, no, there's definitely there's more and more of a tendency toward overreaction. You know, we've got everything. Everybody's so sensitive to everything. Sometimes it's hard for families to just live their life as families. You know, I grew up, you know, I'm a big kid. I busted so many bones and broke so many things. It was just part of life. That's what happens when you're a kid. You know, that's not a crime. That's part of growing up. So, yeah, no,
and
I definitely think there's more of a tendency.
You believe in the rights of the family, and the whole social services thing is putting a lot of people that don't have families in charge of investigating people that do have families.
Yep. And we need to give families a wide latitude on how they raise their kids, because there is no one right way to raise a child, and the government should not be in the business of deciding what that right way is.
And if you're out there and you want to talk with Blake Ashby, he's running for president. The phone number is 800-313-9443. And give your website out again, Blake.
Ashby2008.com.
Okay. One other issue here, and this is on everybody's mind. In the last issue of the magazine, I got a picture of Nacho Ramos. He's a Hispanic Border Patrol agent that was put in prison for 10 years. He and his partner, Jose Campion, they were put in prison for 10 years for shooting a drug dealer, an illegal alien drug dealer, and they shot him in the butt instead of the head. That was their biggest mistake, I guess. Mm. And Homeland Security brought him back, allowed him to bring another load of pot up here, gave him immunity to testify against the two Border Patrol agents, and they're still in jail. Congress is trying to get them out. Bush won't pardon them. And we've got 30 million illegal aliens in this country right now, at least 30 million, and their supporters who may have a green card. And they're responsible for almost 50,000 murders in America. 95% of the arrest warrants for murder in Arizona, California, and New Mexico are for illegal aliens. What would you do about that?
Well, I think the illegal aliens issue is three different issues. First of all, we absolutely have the right to put up a wall. You know, it's our country. We have a right, like any other country in the world, to control who comes and goes. And it's not meant as an insult to Mexico or Guatemala or any other country, but the fact of the matter is we have the right to control our border, and if controlling our border means we have to put up a wall, I'm for it. And it's just mind-boggling that we've come this far and had this problem for so long and haven't used the solution yet. It's not like it's that hard to put up a wall. We can do it. We can do it all the time.
It was that was approved by Congress, and it's just been short-stopped and stalled for the last couple of years. And President Bush had a goal to refer to the Minutemen, which are retired police officers, retired soldiers, their wives. They're going out with their lawn chairs, a cell phone, and binoculars, and calling the border patrol. He had the nerve to refer to them as vigilantes.
Is that right? I'm not. I would like to think that the federal government can do a much better job of controlling the border to where we don't have to rely on private citizens for that fact. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we've been at this for a long time. We haven't figured it out, and it shouldn't be that hard. We should be able to do a much better job of controlling who comes in the country.
Well, if you and I go to Mexico and try to get a job, we get thrown in jail.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's, it's funny. I own a restaurant. People talk about the economic issue, and they're just flat-out wrong about that. They say things like, oh, well, the Mexicans, the illegals will work harder than U.S. citizens will. They want the jobs that U.S. citizens don't. That's not true. You know, I own a restaurant. We hired a guy who had a Social Security card, put him to work, real nice, real hard-working guy, very respectful. And then about a month later, we get a letter from the Social Security Administration saying this same person's also working in Minnesota. What's going on? So we mention it to the guy, show him the letter, and he disappears. So I can guarantee you there is nobody that wants to be a dishwasher in a restaurant, but it's so hard for illegals to get a job that they tend to stick at them longer and they tend to work harder at them longer. That's not because of some cultural thing or anything like that. It's just because they're afraid to lose their jobs. And, you know, the fact of the matter is the more low-wage workers we bring into this country, the more the wages drop for those low-end jobs. And we've essentially had a compromise in this country. We have maintained capitalism with the belief that the benefits of capitalism get spread throughout the society. And that means we actually pay a little more for those low-wage people. You know, we pay them a living wage just so they can participate in capitalism. And the illegal immigrants...
When I was about 16 years old, I bus tables, I washed dishes, and I was happy to do it. I paid for my own first motorcycle.
Absolutely. That same thing. I bus tables, washed dishes, waited tables. I did anything I could to make some money. But, you know, now you've got a situation where, unfortunately, you've got a lot of undocumented aliens who are willing to take jobs, and they essentially keep the wages down because they can't go anywhere else. You know, my restaurant might pay, what, $7.75 or $8 an hour for a dishwasher. If we had to pay $9 or $9.50, we'd do it, but, you know, our preference would not. So that's part of the problem is that they are undercutting the wage level for the lower-skilled jobs, and that is making it harder for you know, many Americans to actually earn a living.
We've got a lot of vets out there right now that and they just passed this Veterans Disarmament Act. So if you've ever had post-traumatic stress syndrome, you may not be able to own a gun. What's your position on the Second Amendment? Is that just for military? Is that just for police? Or do we Americans have the right to bear arms?
We have the right to bear arms.
Well, I read the Second Amendment.
Yeah, no, it's funny. The United States of America was founded by cranky, distrustful people. And part of our population will always be cranky and distrustful. And if those people feel better having a gun in their hand, you know what? So be it. It's part of our heritage and part of our culture. You know, I'm not actually a gun owner, but I've shot guns. You know, if somebody wants to be responsible and learn how to fire a gun, they should have a right to own the gun. That's always been part of the United States culture. It's hard to imagine it not being. I would rather
say... There's a little 11-year-old girl whose father taught her how to shoot skeet, how to use a shotgun, and two illegal aliens just broke into her house, and she blew them both away. More power to her.
More power to anybody that protects himself in their home, yeah. I agree with that. But so, you know, the point is that we spend so much time talking about whether or not anybody should have the right to use guns. We don't do as good a job on the gun laws we have. We've got adequate gun laws in place. We've got gun laws that can keep guns out of the hands of criminals. The problem is we're not doing a good job enforcing those. I would rather see us stop arguing about the Second Amendment and just actually enforce the laws we have on the books. And I think that right there would do far more for gun crime than this ongoing debate that's never going to happen. We are never going to overturn the Second Amendment. This is the United States of America. Our citizens have had guns from day one. It's hard to imagine this country without at least some people that want to have guns owning guns.
Now, the other issue that's happening right now, we invaded Iraq, and a lot of people thought it was to get the oil. We didn't want Saddam Hussein selling all this oil and making all the profits of the oil. So he built all these palaces, I guess. We went over there, and the Iraqi people, at the time of the invasion, were paying 25 cents a gallon for gasoline while we were paying two and a half.
Yep.
And then we conquered them. We won, so George Bush tells us.
Yeah.
Although there's still, last month, there were more Americans killed than any time since the invasion. And we're paying $3.50 a gallon for gasoline.
Oh, I know. It's a travesty.
Now, I've got two links, two videos on my side, right at the bottom of the middle of the front page, first page, that shows water burning. And I just sat and watched a video of a young high school kid. He put two metal rods into a glass of water, distilled water, and hooked them up to a battery, and there's bubbles coming off of them, and those bubbles are hydrogen. And he lit a match to it, and it went...
Yep.
So we've got pictures videos of a guy burning water in an assembling church. He turned around and made a car that runs on water. And we had a radio engineer made an antenna out of his wife's pipe pen and ignited a tube, a test tube of salt water that burned at 1,500 degrees. So why are we spending billions of dollars on the diesel to run these ships back and forth across the country? We took away the sales, we took away the hemp. We're running these ships across the water. And we run on them. They burning the fuel in the ships that are floating on. We could be burning water. I want to get your opinions on that after this break. And anybody out there wants to ask Blake Ashby a question, what do you do, President? You give us a call.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Ashby2008.com. I believe that right?
That is correct. Thank you very much.
All right, what about this gasoline crisis? We've got more gasoline under Alaska, and in Colorado we've just found out, than they do in Saudi Arabia. So what are we doing overseas, messing with somebody else's oil? We could just refuse to buy their oil if it was more than $10 a barrel.
That would be wonderful, yeah. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but the Bush tax cuts actually jumped up energy prices. You know, everybody talks about China and growing consumption, but the fact of the matter is that part of the rise was due to speculation. You know, these big hedge funds were speculating in oil futures and driving up the price. And what happened was once the Arabs realized they could get, you know, not $40 a barrel, but $90 a barrel, they're like, well, why not? We'll take their money. They're going to give it to us. So I would love to see us do more to explore alternatives.
If we switch our focus to little hydrogen generators and adapters for our automobiles, we could probably put on for less than $100.
I don't think hydrogen would. You know, part of the problem is the infrastructure. We've got this massive trillion-dollar infrastructure to distribute gasoline. We do not have that infrastructure to distribute hydrogen. And hydrogen, you can't make hydrogen out of salt water. You know, for instance, it's got to be distilled water. So if you're on a boat, the energy it takes to get you to distilled water also has to be figured into the equation. You know, diesel is still more easily accessible than using hydrogen on boats. But, you know, the bigger problem is the Bush administration hasn't done anything to, you know, they haven't done anything to, foster conservation. You know, we've got these fuel standards that haven't changed. They're still thinking like it's 1950 and oil is $10 a barrel. I think that's short sighted.
Bush family had Zapata oil. They got Zapata oil platforms offshore. If they're working with the major oil companies to keep the price up, then they're certainly doing a good job at it.
Yeah, they really have. I don't think he intended that to be the case, but it sure worked out that way. Hey, I wanted to say one more thing on that alien question. It's not going to be popular, but I think if they've made it in here 10 years, I think we should give them an amnesty. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine sending somebody home who's made it a decade. You know, and at the end of the day, the United States wants people who are clever and hardworking. You know, that's my take. If they can make it 10 years, they get amnesty. If we catch them before then, we send them home.
In Phoenix, I helped a friend of mine run a company, and they employed about a dozen glassblowers. And they could only get them from Mexico. They couldn't. Nobody in America had the skill to do that. And I went down to see how I could do it legally. I couldn't. They wouldn't allow me to bring selected people in to work for us here.
Yeah, no, the whole immigration laws with the H-1B and 2B visa system is all messed up. You know, I work in the technology world, and we certainly have a lot of engineers from India and China. They make it harder for skilled people to get into the country, but they don't do a good job of keeping out the unskilled illegals.
All right, do you have to go now?
What's that?
Do you have to go now, or can you stay with us a little while longer?
Oh, I can stay a little while longer.
Okay, we'll be right back then, and we'll take your calls. We're talking with Blake Ashby. The number here is 800-313 and 443. I'm Clay Douglas, and my number is 888-678-1444. If you want to make a donation, if you want to get some products, if you want to get a subscription to the Free American, we'll be right back.
With reason.